Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there, listen, land, it's Caleb Patterson, P4P Muscle, yeah, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk, yeah, because I'm all over the place. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, again, that name. But anywho, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world, todo el mundo. And if you are a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what that?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Let's get through there. Let's get through there. Yeah, yeah. Like full head of steam, 150 mile an hour. Yeah. We're tearing stuff up. Okay? Yeah. Check us out at P4P Muscles, that name again, .com. And now, let's talk. I am Caleb Patterson, and Desiree is also with us, so I'm really happy. Yeah. Yeah, it's a Thursday. Nice, warm, sunny Thursday. Yeah. Cool drinks of water. Yeah.
Hi,
Des. How you doing?
So as you can tell, we're getting close to a show. We're pretty far into prep, so I just throw that disclaimer out there now. I don't know that we can say we can be held responsible for anything that totally happens from here on out over the next couple of weeks. So, you know, that kind of happens when you're on extended prep or you're in a deep prep. But we are still here. We are keeping the schedule. We still got great guests on the show. And, you know, the show must go on. And speaking of shows, I know that on our last show on Tuesday, where we had Megan Gaza, great show, we had also referenced that today we were going to be touching base on some of the questions you guys still had from our show about a week or so ago regarding the failed drug test. And, Kaylin, I know that you were pulling together some answers for those questions, so I'm going to go ahead and flip it back to you to touch on those areas that we still need to wrap up.
Well, actually, I'm going to we'll start with that, and then we'll basically pass it over to our special guest. And what I found is that on competition day, the reason why some are allowed is is because of the potency and what they do to the body that particular day, and because it doesn't have what I would call a shelf life is why there's no reason to let it go beyond that day, because basically it's already run its course through the system. So it's not an illegal drug. I don't want anyone to think that we're promoting drug use. So what we're going to go with is the understanding that it's not an illegal drug, but it's still enough to where it might give an advantage in some aspect of competition on show day. So it's almost, people were trying to relate it from what I was reading from the research and the feeds, is that we were trying to almost put it down to equaling out to blood doping, but it's nowhere near close. It's basically a synthetic product that has been listed as a natural herbal or from the ground product, and it was not in that area. So basically, there was a lot of confusion. So instead of having a big headache, they just said, "Then we won't allow it." And I said, it's not an illegal product. This is over the counter, nothing health hazard. It's just a synthetic product listed as an herbal product, but it is not listed correctly. And so because of that confusion, they still have it on the basket simply because it's not what they're claiming it should be. So it's not SARMs. It's not harmful to the body. There's no side effects that are negative. It's just the fact that the label is not matching what the product represents. So I want to make sure that we definitely have that understanding. And there's a aspect you can introduce again.
Well, actually, I was just going to say before we head that way, you had thrown out a phrase that you used called, you said blood doping. And for our listeners who might not understand what that is, why don't you give us a little bit of clarification on that before we move on?
Okay. So blood doping is basically getting the really heightened sense of your blood and getting active, and then they withdraw it, and then they basically bring it back to your system so your body is already in a heightened state and you can goo a lot more, a lot longer, because everything in the blood is exactly where it needs to be at the prime effective rate. Also with the SARMs, I don't think we went into detail on that. I can't remember the breakdown of the name, but needless to say, it is definitely harmful to the body. The side effects are incredibly harmful, and it's not going to be listed because basically it was meant to be undetected in initially when it was introduced into these illegal products, even though they're being sold as legal over-the-counter supplements. They are far from that. I want to make sure that everyone understands this is not in comparison to something that we said has a shelf life of that day. And please, I mean, really do your research. Find somebody that knows the supplement industry and not basically salesmanship. They are two different aspects of supplements. There's people that want to sell what's successful and popular, and there's people that sell good product. And that's what supplements are supposed to be, is something that aids you, supplement in your diet and your days, not to basically put your health at risk. And that's what we're really speaking towards, and actually, you know, for the natural community. Because if you want to be a natural athlete, yes, you have to do more. Yes, you have to work harder. And yes, you have to bust your butt. But that's part of being the natural community. I can't imagine playing a sport where you didn't have work to do and preparation that had to be adhered to and regulations that made sure you got there successfully. So I do not mind any of this, and I'll pass it back to Des.
All right, and there you have it. So if you have any more questions along those lines, please do continue to send those in to us. We can definitely still continue to have more shows on this topic. I know we got a little in the weeds, actually a lot in the weeds, with just all the various products that are out there, why they're bad, day of, you know, can't take them at all of those good kinds of things. When the whole intent of the show was to talk about that, yes, we still have some individuals out there still doing what they shouldn't be doing, but they are getting caught. The system is working. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. But anyway, moving on, tonight's show, we've got a great guest, female phenom, joining us, Dean Tama. She's a WNBF and NGA figure pro, fit body pro, physique pro, and Isogenics athlete. I don't know how many more, are there any more pros you can put behind your name, Christine?
At this point, I don't know, possibly. Maybe a bikini, but I don't think so.
I think you probably got a little more size that's way beyond bikini now. There's no going back.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, why don't you go ahead, and I've just given you a tiny introduction, but why don't you share a little bit more about yourself for our listeners?
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Christine Tama. I'm going to be 44 years old. I've been working out for 25 years. I took 18 years off in between competing. So I competed in my 20s and then took all that time off for kids and whatnot. And just,
why hear that accent?
Just keep my...
What?
My accent?
Yes, I love it.
That's the city, Staten Island, coming through. So I took 18 years off and started competing again 2 years ago. And my first show, I got my pro card. I got my pro card in figure. And
cool.
Then I continued to do three more shows last year. I'm sorry, the year before, and then three shows last year. So in a matter of 2 years, I got my pro card in master's figure, fit body, and physique. So it's been a very eventful 2 years, for sure. I mean, after an 18-year break, you know, they say a lot for muscle maturity, I guess, right, as long as you stay consistent.
Yeah, no doubt. But I love that story because we're always talking about how with natural bodybuilding, I mean, as long as the body is willing, you can compete in this sport until, you know, well, I've seen stage competitors well into their 60s, 70s, still jumping up there and throwing up some great muscle with some great physique. So I love that you started when you were younger in your 20s, you took a break for family, and then you came back with a vengeance in your 40s, and you've just been doing gangbusters. So, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, it really is an ageless sport. As long as, you know, you take care of your body correctly, you do things in a safe manner, you can do it and enjoy it for a long time.
Oh, without a doubt. Most of my preps are pretty long. You know, me and my coach like to do nice, long, slow preps just to get exactly where we need to be. You know, my response to things pretty well, and knock on wood. It's been a great process so far, and I've been having a great time. The NGA, the WMBF, everybody's been great to me. I'm now judging now in the NGA, which I love.
Cool.
As well.
Nice.
Yeah. So that aspect is incredible, just to, from sitting on the other side of the table for once and seeing, you know, exactly what we're looking for. It actually helps me as a competitor as well.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that at some point as well, but they definitely say that is one of the benefits, that when you do take time to step behind the judges' table, that you just learn, again, the criteria, everything that they're looking for, which then you can apply to your own self for the next time that you get back on stage. So a lot of good stuff going on there. And we've got a couple more questions regarding the opener of our show. But just so everybody knows, we've got kind of a ladies' room that's going to be going on tonight. And so that's why Christine has joined us. We're going to be talking about all of the things that Mother Nature can throw at us that can kind of throw our preps off base, and how to battle those and still be show ready regardless. But before we get that far, we've had a couple of listeners call in. Both Shelley and Dana want to know what are some of the popular supplements for the natural community. And I will open that up to both Christine and Kaylin, as far as, you know, what are some of the good bread and butter basics that everyone should kind of have in their supplement toolbox as they're going through prep? Christine, we can go ahead and start with you.
Okay. Basically, what I do through prep is very simple. BCAAs, which are branched chain amino acids,
that I take
every day, regardless of whether I'm training or not. Glutamine.
Yep.
For recovery, for sure. I don't do any pre-workouts. For some reason, I just never really got into pre-workouts. Protein powder, and honestly, that's really about it. I don't take any other supplements.
I mean, and those are all good ones. And when I say bread and butter, I think you've hit primarily the majority of them. Kaylin, what would you add to that?
I always throw in the multivitamins, simply because we're always taxing our bodies more than most of society. The other would be the creatine for the ones that want to keep the lifting going. And also, I got to go with the all shucks for the pre-workout, because I've never done coffee in my life. And, you know, teaching the classes and basically getting that extra push, it's some days where it's just not happening. And so that's an extra jump. I would really strongly recommend doing research on anything beyond these, because you are getting into the weeds. And, you know, unless you know someone that's really into supplements, this is real talk, so let's be real. There are some products that basically have a whole bunch of nothing in them, and they sound good because, you know, oh yeah, that's part of what I heard, or that's part of what I heard, but because they're combining so much, it weakens it to the point it's ineffective. So I love how Leaf said it. If you're wanting glutamine, why aren't you just buying glutamine? If you're wanting branched chain amino acids, why aren't you buying branched chain amino acids? If you get all of the above, then you're basically getting none of anything, because they're just such at a weak potency that they're basically rendered ineffective. So, you know, being really cautious, like granted, we're giving a list of what's good, but if you try to combine them all, most of the time you're not going to be able to get enough. I remember the first time I saw a real multivitamin instead of a store brand multivitamin, because in order to get the numbers that they were saying, and it was a horse capsule, and it tasted awful because it had everything it was supposed to have. So, you know, we have to be mindful of what we're getting, but also mindful that it's actually what we're getting and not just what's listed in really small trace amounts. So I'll just throw that out there, and I'll pass it back to Deb.
All right. So hopefully that helped answer your question. Unless I missed this, I know another one that tends to be popular on people's list is creatine. I personally don't take that, but I do stick to the glutamine BCA protein. Yes, Christine, what would you add?
Absolutely. Creatine, in the past, I have tried it many years ago when there was a female creatine supplement that you would drop underneath your tongue and whatnot. I did not respond well to that. I put on mass, a lot of mass in a couple of weeks, and it wasn't what I was looking for. So from that point forward, I've never taken creatine or any supplements that has creatine in it. It does not respond well with my body. I know most men do love it, which is fine, but for me, it's not worth it.
Gotcha. So there you have it, a couple different opinions. I'm sure Kalen would probably say he loves it, maybe not. But, you know, depending on the person and the physique and the type of muscle that you're looking to put on, it may or may not be a good product for you. So always do your homework. And if you're going to experiment, make sure you have plenty of time before your show to do that.
That's
you don't
exactly
want to experiment
right.
with a supplement you've never used before two
no.
weeks out. You may have
absolutely
something
not.
That you don't want, that you don't want. All right. So, as I said, ladies' room, Mother Nature, you know, it's never much fun, and I guess it's not something that you always talk about, but we have gotten so many questions from our female listeners that we just felt like we had to start addressing some of these and get the information out there. So here we go. We've already gotten several listener questions, so I think we are going to just kind of jump in there and get started. And Christine, we'll go ahead and we'll always start with you, and if I have something to tag on, I will. And Kalen, even though this is ladies' room, you are a coach, so you're very knowledgeable about a lot of things, and your female clients, so we'll definitely be looking for you to contribute as well. So don't think you got a free ride to sit back there and snickerdoodle this whole show. Nope.
Hey,
you're going to have to earn your keep. You're going to have to earn your keep. So Sarah wants to know, at what percentage of body fat do most women usually stop having a cycle?
That's a tricky question because everybody's different, I believe.
Yes.
To be honest with you, I never really tracked my body fat. When I was younger and I competed 20 years ago, I had lost my menstrual cycle at the time. In the past 2 years, when I was competing, I've never lost my menstrual cycle. And even though I was leaner this time than I was 20 years ago, it's never happened. So I guess it depends on the individual and how low you go, how much cardio you're doing. I don't tend to do that much cardio during prep because we kind of figure everything out with food other than cardio, which is great. But, I wouldn't know the exact number for that because I believe every individual is completely different. Kalen, you agree?
Yes, I definitely agree. And there's also something that I'm going to put out there because we have to deal with the female bro science as well, and that's that shock value that people are doing by going with these incredibly low body fat percentages that basically would shame most men. But in reality, it's not a true body fat percentage. I've seen women claiming to be in the 8 to 5%
mm-hmm.
in a bikini, and I'm just shocked. I mean, I was like, well, I can't wait to see these pictures. And then you see them and you're like, yeah, that's not even remotely close. So, you know, like with the advent of social media and people basically trying to get and maintain sponsors, there's been a lot of false information that's been placed on the women, and it's incredibly hard for the beginning competitor to try and attain those numbers. I would say it's very health risky. I wouldn't recommend it. You know, we're natural competitors, so we basically have to go through a progress and a process, and it is frightening. The women that think that they're going to be maintaining those numbers, they are attainable. No doubt about that.
Yep.
But you really, I mean, you're talking upper echelon diet, workouts, coach. You've got the gamut covered, and it I would not recommend it for the beginner simply because you have a mental aspect as well. And when you're dropping the body fat percentage from a new competitor basically to an elite competitor in the same year, I would be throwing up caution flags everywhere as a coach. So, you know, the number where you could start seeing would be in the teens, but a first year competitor, it would be very late in the prep, if at all. And like Christine said, the numbers vary from person to person, so there's no definite answer to that. But you would be much lower than normal, and that's why your body's responding the way it's responding. And I'll give it to this.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I totally agree with both of these two. And I'm glad that Kaylin brought up the aspect of ladies out there either trying to get to a super low body fat at some of I don't want to say lesser level, but at levels where you don't need to be as lean, such as, but you know, even in figure, you know, there's the one side of the story is striving to get to those points. And then the other side of the story is thinking that you're actually there when you're not because of the body fat testing, you know, either mechanisms or the person running the calipers are just so far off that they're giving you a skewed picture of where your body is really at. And, you know, and we saw that, you know, at Chi-Town Showdown, we ran into a figure competitor who thought she was already at 8% body fat. And, you know, she wasn't quite there yet. But in her mind she was, and she felt she could keep going. And sometimes that can be kind of dangerous if you don't have a clear picture of where your body is already at. I remember Kaylin telling her, well, the body fat that you're trying to get to, my friend, you would be dead if you actually got there. So you don't want to go there. So
I believe they're focusing way too much on these numbers, whether it be on the scale or whether it be in calipers and body fat testing. It's way too much focus on the numbers. It depends how you look that day of the show. On stage.
Yeah. Yep. How you look, how you feel, you know, if you look tight, you feel tight, you are tight. Whatever your body fat number is at that point, it doesn't really matter because your body has responded the way you wanted it to. I mean, at least that's my opinion. There are probably, you know, some people out there that are jumping up and down who disagree with me, but that's just my perspective on that. So hopefully, Sarah, that answers your question, but really it just all depends on the body. And for the most part, in almost all women, if, you know, a cycle does stop, once you get back to eating, you know, higher calorie, you know, it will start up again. It almost, I can't speak as a definite, but it doesn't or it shouldn't, you know, interfere with any reproductive goals that you might have if you still want to have children, if you haven't had children. I know that's a question that rolls around out there, but that's definitely something that you need to keep an eye on. And when you have regular visits, annual visits with your doctor, be talking about those things, be checking in on things because, you know, you may be the one in 10,000 that has some sort of condition where it's not going to work out positively for you. So, you know, we can say woulda, coulda, shouldas, and in the majority of women, it doesn't, but still you have to be, you know,
on the lookout and just be watching those things to make sure that your body, you know, reproductive wise and otherwise, continues to function the way that it should and that the way you want it to.
Yep.
So I'll just put that disclaimer out there. Let's see. Belinda wants to know what supplements will hinder or mess with the menstrual cycle. I don't know that I can point to a specific supplement that I would say specifically does that, but I could be wrong.
That's
Christine,
a hard question
Kalen?
To answer. Yeah, that's a hard question to answer because if I had to choose one, I would say backburners. I mean, that would be
okay.
The first thing that came to my mind because it is just that, a fat burner. I mean, it works well. It works better for some people than it does for others. So you might lose body fat, and which in turn will mess with your menstrual cycle. So that would be the only thing that I would say. I don't believe anything else does, but I mean, I could be wrong. Kaylin, what are your thoughts?
Well, since we're going to cover everything, like I said, there's listed supplements, and then there's the ones we were talking about, the damaging supplements. And there are people that are willing to take that risk. And SARMS is incredibly hard on the internal organs and therefore would definitely deplete the body fat stores so fast that, you know, your body just cannot maintain anything. It's so off balance that you're basically putting your life at risk. I know there's plenty of people that say, you know, hey, why not give it a shot? But I'm telling you, you're putting yourself in such harm's way. I doubt you have any love for your family. So the fat burner for sure, the unlisted, untested, and that's why I just cannot promote the enhanced arena or community. It's because of all the health risks that come along with the drug use.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So I hope that answers your question there, at least gives you some kind of idea. You know, with all of these questions we're getting in tonight, and especially with women's health and women's bodies, everybody can be so different. We're probably not going to have 100% definiteness for you, but I hope what we are able to share just gives you enough to think about and can spur you in maybe a better direction to do more research on your own or to have a discussion with your position about these areas if you continue to have concerns or want to know more. So hopefully we'll get you pointed in the right direction there. Next question. Tanya wants to know why she gets so moody when she does a clean and good diet. Well, I guess, Tanya, my first question is, how much are you eating in that good and clean diet?
That's a good question.
Because that can definitely be a number one contributor to your mood. I mean, you know, we all know, whether male or female, even though you're eating clean, when you start to really cut carbs, that can impact your emotional state, male or female. I've seen it go both ways, and I know that, you know, once my carbs hit a certain level, I tend to be more easily agitated. My children recognize that I can be more easily agitated, and they will tell their friends that, oh, my mom is hangry. She needs to eat more carbs. And I think that I'm not even being that bad, but evidently what I think and what they think is two different is two different things. I really feel like I'm holding it together, but evidently I'm not. But anyway, I'll pass to Christine and Kaylin to go ahead and share their thoughts on that.
My life is at risk if I answer.
What's that?
I said my life is at risk if I answered that one correctly about my co-host.
I think it's more of a combination of everything than anything else. I've had my moments where I've been up, where I've been down. I think it's emotionally as well as what I was taking in that had to do with it. I mean, prep itself is probably one of the hardest things that anybody can ever do. Without that, you are sacrificing so many weeks and so many months. Sacrificing dinners and parties and events. And I think it's more of an emotional thing than anything else. But that being said,
your carbs should be at a certain level. And if they're way too low, yes, you're going to get agitated. You're going to get irritated because you're going to be in that foggy state of mind where you're tired and you just irritate quickly. Kaylin, what do you – I mean, you're a prep coach, so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my,
some
my
girls myself.
Is, yeah. Well, the thing is carbs help with thinking.
Yeah.
And the mood basically is brought on by the understanding that you're not thinking clearly and there's too many questions. So it's basically information overload on a very limited computer. So if we mm-hmm. took a 1950s computer and said, all right, we want you to keep up with a smartphone, say, yeah, it's a lot smaller and it should hold a lot of lot less information, but that big computer you have is actually running on a lot less information. So what happens
yep.
is you have the subconscious understanding that you know better, but you're not responding normally. And so you're already at a negative state. And when you become
mm-hmm.
negative, everything is influenced negatively. So you, when you're responding like you are, it's not that you're basically a bad person. It's just that so many things are coming at you that should be normal, and they're not. You're already in a bad mood to begin with. So, you know, it's not that you're moody. It's the understanding that you're not yourself. And until
right.
you understand the prep and the understanding that, yes, you're going to be challenged like nobody's business, if you're not prepared to be challenged, then you're not prepared for a good prep. And it does require a lot of thought with a lot of basically no thought help. So the food that usually keeps you thinking clearly is no longer there. So you're challenged all the way from start to finish. You just don't understand it at the beginning because you don't have that depletion that you're afraid of yet. And I that's the best answer I can give.
Yep, good answer. You know, and at the same time, because you're not taking in what your body might consider a normal level of anything, proteins, fats, carbs,
mm-hmm.
it's processing at a different rate, at a different level, and your body is not producing the same hormones. You don't have the same level of endorphins being churned out either, the feel-good endorphins that, you know, keep you happy and on keel throughout your day. So it all just kind of works together. To where you're used to being moody, and others will perceive you as that, but just know
you don't feel
it's,
it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just a natural reaction, and that's why, you know, the food that you're eating, even though it's clean, it has to do with the levels that you're taking in. A lot of it does.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know there's probably more scientific answers out there than that, but that's what you're going to
yep.
get from me tonight. Let's see. Tiffany wants to know just how weak women get the closer they get to show day. And I will say again, yeah, how weak, W-E-A-K, how weak they get. Oh. And again, that's going to do a lot with your nutrition. And I will also throw in how much sleep are you getting the closer you get to show day.
Oh,
with
yeah.
that, I'll pass it off. Whoever wants to take it first, Christine or Kaylin. I know Kaylin will say ladies first, so I'll say Christine.
Get out of my head.
You know, I've been prepping for figure and I've been prepping for physique. And I'm a full-time personal trainer. And so I see a lot of bikini competitors in the gym as well. I spoke to a lot of bikini competitors. It seems as they seem a little bit more weak than the figure competitors. I don't know if it's their coaches not giving them as much food. I mean, every coach is different. Every competitor is different. And I actually hear this a lot. The closer they get to the prep, I mean, to the show, they're actually so much weaker. I personally have never experienced that. My calories were always high. My carbs were always moderate. My cardio was always low. But, again, everybody's different. I guess maybe it depends on your coach and exactly what he's giving you in your plan. But
yep.
I've seen both ways. So I don't know if you can go further on that, Kaylin.
Well, let me get that question again, because we just got a question I knew was coming. I want to make sure ask it correctly.
Tanya wants to know why. Oh, not Tanya. I'm sorry. I'm off on my questions now. Tiffany, it was still a T. Sorry, Tiffany. Tiffany wants to know just how weak women get the closer they get to show day.
Okay, yeah. Dan's covered it real good with about the sleep, and Christine covered it as well. The one thing that we have to understand with if you're going at a deficit, strength is going to go away. The one thing I learned in football is that I don't care how strong you are at the beginning of the season, by the time the end of the year, you're 10 to 15 pounds lighter. And it's not because you quit eating. It's not because you did anything different other than being much more active, because play level stays up during, like in practice, you go at a certain speed, but in the actual game, you have to go at a higher level because everybody else is doing the same. So you're losing weight, you're losing strength, and by the end of the year, you feel like yourself, but everything's a lot less simply because of the challenges you put on yourself. And the gym weight suffers simply because you're at a lighter weight and you're at a deficit. So as long as you're at a deficit, you can't keep thinking PRs. I know, like I said, with social media, there's a lot of people that are bragging about these PRs. And I'm sadly waiting for that injury to happen because, you know, most of the time when you're injured, you're already at 40%, so your body is well past the 50% range, and you've been injuring yourself that whole time trying to get a goal that you really shouldn't be pushing for at a deficit. When you're basically at a peak, that means everything's at its optimum, not the other way around. And so, you know, I really caution anyone that's really trying to go for those heavy weight goals. And so strength should not be an issue. Form would be more key for me. I would stress form. I would stress rep range. I would stress the true focus on the muscle that you're working. But I would not be stressing the heavy weight lifting simply because the body fat percentage is much lower. And everything else is at a deficit, so the body is already being strained, and I don't want to strain it any further. So the weakness thing, that social media, people bragging, I would question them every time because many of them are bragging in a lie. They're not really stressing the truth. I know there's been a lot of Instagram people that have been called out for using fake weights. So, you know, it looks good, but it's not really true. So, you know, you focus on you and you make sure you have the best prep, but no longer keep trying to challenge yourself to numbers that you know you weren't doing in the beginning. And because you feel better, which you will because there's less crap in your body if you're eating a lot cleaner, but I would not add stressing the body beyond what it can do because we are body sculpting and building, not basically body mass improving on a deficit. The only people I've seen do that, well, I can't even say successfully, aesthetically, are people that are on illegal drugs.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then I will just tag on to that to say I got my broken record that's getting ready to start here. But as you get to show day, please be sure you're eating. Please be sure you're drinking. Please be sure you had plenty of rest the night before. Because if you get to show day and you're not doing any of those things, yeah, you're going to feel incredibly weak because you have no fuel in your system. Who knows how that's going to manifest itself. You know, we've seen a lot of negative things. You've heard me talking about it already this year. Girls cramping up, passing out, getting dizzy, I mean, getting sick, can't even finish the competition. So, you know, just be sure that you are taking good care of your body all the way into, you know, through peak week and on show day. And if you are seeing that your coach has you on some ridiculous diet where those things aren't possible, you know, on show day or peak week or even weeks out ahead of time, then do question your coach, or B, pick a different show. You're not ready. If you're having to be that extreme, you're not ready, and it's okay. There's no shame in not being ready. It just means you're prepped. You just need a little bit longer. So please be sure to use caution and just common sense going into those things. But I just wanted to add something.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to add something when you say about peak week. 20 years ago when I competed for the first time, that whole thing of not drinking any water, that was huge at the time. For 2 days, we didn't drink water. Was it unhealthy? Yes, absolutely. That's the way they did things. Obviously, things have changed since then. And I just wanted to put it out there for people that are competing and are thinking about competing. My peak weeks, I'm drinking 2 gallons of water up to 2 days before the show.
Mm-hmm.
So something that went from cutting out water completely, I'm now drinking 2 gallons of water, and the least I will drink before the show would be three quarters of a gallon. So it's done. That's what I'm saying. When you said question your coach, yes. Because if you're eating dry oatmeal and not drinking, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear it way too often from a lot of competitors that they're eating dry oatmeal. I mean, dry with no water, just right out of the canister. And it's actually disheartening. It's pretty sickening, actually, to hear something like that when things could be done so more safely than that.
And it just sounds yucky. I don't know that I would want to eat that anyway. But Kayla, go ahead.
No, that's horrible. You just choke.
The one thing I would like to add to that is that if your coach is not prepared to give you an answer, then it's not a coach. You basically have someone what to do, because it is frightening the things that people are willing to do for money. And if they're not considering your health, then they're not a coach. Let's just be honest about that. And if you should be ready to give an answer for anything. Because even God says to him to make sure that, you know, he's the God that you're basically saying you want to give your life to. So if a coach can't do anything along those lines, then they don't care about your health. And basically they're just wanting some money in their pocket.
Exactly. Yep.
Good. All good stuff. And actually a lot of what we said earlier, not so much we, but Christine and Kaylin said earlier, ties into Belinda's next question. So I'll be interested to hear your guys' perspective on this. But she wants to know how to compete at a higher level and keep the heavy weight lifting into her prep as long as possible. So now, Kaylin, you just had shared, you know what, don't be worried about those personal records, which is what PR stands for, those personal records. Worry about form, worry about rep range, worry about all of those good kind of things. But for those who are saying, yes, okay, rep range, you know, form, got it, but I still just want to lift heavy. How do I do that? Is there a safe way to do that?
Ladies first.
All right, so I could go about this a couple of different ways. I am 4'11", okay? Well, 4'11½" on a good day.
That counts. It counts.
I know. I'm telling you, that half an inch counts. I'm very muscular for my size. I have fantastic genetics. I was a gymnast for 15 years. I've been working out for 25. People look at me and think I lift ridiculously heavy weight, but in reality, I really don't. When you say it's about form, like Kaylin said, it's about form and rep range, I 100% agree. Just because if you're doing bicep curls, if the average person doing bicep curls is 15 pounds and you can do 30 pounds but get 3 reps, I don't know, is it that beneficial, especially during prep? Everything is so balanced, you know, everything is so balanced and it's such a science. When you say, quote, unquote, lifting heavy weight, I'm not necessarily sure that's needed for the prep. Everything is going according to how your body looks. So I know for me, my coach changes my workouts according to the way my body looks. And he'll never say, I want you to lift ridiculously heavy weight. No, it's not about that. It's all about form. Even as a personal trainer, with my clients, lift, but I'm watching you to make sure your form is correct. Because if you're lifting something and your body's all over the place, it's detrimental to what you're trying to do.
Yes.
Correct, Kaylin?
Yeah.
Exactly. The biggest thing is, you know, we've bodybuilding is a great sport, but it's also been confused with powerlifting.
Right.
They're like cousins, I guess, the best way to say it. And what is good for a powerlifter is not even remotely close to what's good for a bodybuilder, because I can't imagine having even close to the diet that a powerlifter would have and be successful on stage, where you could do that same thing and be very successful, on the platform of competition with powerlifting. So, you know, I get that understanding that you have some powerlifting coaches that are also bodybuilding coaches as far as the weight gym side, but you really have to be mindful of who's teaching you, and the research shows that you will injure yourself with basically performing at a deficit. And the one thing we have to remind ourselves is that the person we start with at the beginning of our prep is not the person that steps on stage at the end of prep. So if you understand that you're not a lesser human being, but you all work with less, so your body basically has to do more with what you have. And that's a strain on everything that is your body. If you're worried about doing major weight, then maybe you should wait, WAIT, on competing if what the goal is personal records. Because the body is only going to do what it can. Anything that's doing more is not a natural individual. If you're doing late weight well in prep, then you're doing a lot of things wrong.
Yep, all right. Either of you have any more to add to that? All right. Okay. Our next question is from Carla, and I think we touched on this a little bit, but let's go ahead and hit on it again. She wants to know if competing with a leaner body fat percentage will keep her from having children. And Carla, that's a tough one, not knowing anything about your reproductive health.
Yeah.
But, Christine, go ahead.
Yeah, from experience, like I said years ago when I was competing for the first time, I did lose my menstrual cycle for probably two and a half years. And I went to the doctor regularly and I explained the situation. And she said, that has nothing to do with your reproductive cycle. So because like anything else, most marathon runners and runners will not have a menstrual cycle for a long time. If they're training for a marathon and whatnot, cause they run very long distance. But again, it depends on the bot, on the person, on the individual. Me for myself, no, at the time when my body fat, I don't know if it's whether my body fat hits a certain percentage or whether I'm doing too much cardio. I did way more cardio back then than I do now for prep because things have changed so much. But then, no, I did not get a menstrual cycle for, like I said, almost 2.5 years. And the doctor said it has nothing to do with your reproductive cycle. Obviously now I have 2 kids, so I've never had a problem. That answers your question, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, just keep checking with your doctor, and you know, if you have concerns, just have regular conversations and keep an eye on it. But all in all, you know, even if you're a regular competitor and you stop having a cycle, eventually your body should continue to drop back into its normal pattern, and it should function as it was normally designed to function. So, best wishes to you there.
That your body is, like I said, it's built for survival. And if you're challenging it to do new things and challenging the normal that it knows, it reacts in a different fashion each and every time. And the body is incredibly adaptive, and it will adapt
yep.
to basically all forms that you put on there as long as you're doing it in a healthy fashion. A regulated
yeah.
state is still a challenge, but your body will adapt. And a lot of times, especially for women, it's going to be to that point where it's not messing with the reproductive organs, but it is messing with the reproductive cycle. Because if you're not in a healthy state to sustain a life, it will not allow that to happen because it wants to basically be able to reproduce. So, you know, when you're challenging your body, these things are not normal for everyone. Like I said, everybody's unique. So it will, from time to time, change up. And like what Christine was saying, where what was normal in the beginning is not normal now. And, you know,
yep.
that cardio is a big, big thing because there's a lot of damage done to the body, especially in the knees and joints from cardio, especially done incorrectly. And the body will be stuck in self-preservation mode instead of basically reproductive mode. So, you know, the cardio queens are out there, and they will, like Dan was saying, they'll be up and down screaming. I've had a couple challenges already, and I've basically sent them links to research, and it's there. You can't really argue with data successfully unless you're... What is that noise? I'm hearing some, like, background.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I've been waiting for you to say something for, like, 20 minutes now.
I hear it, too.
And I don't know why I think that's so funny, but it just is right now. All right. Anyway, pulling it together. So I hope Carla, that helps answer your question. And now the next one, this is going to be a fun one. Just started off with a little bomb chicka wow wow.
Oh no.
Ooh, so Jelena wants to know, and I'm sorry if I did not pronounce your name correctly, if it is okay to have sex during the complete prep or if there is a proper time to start and stop again. And girlfriend, I say, if you have the energy, why not? Go for it.
100% agree with you. Most people think
Woo!
It's their hormones that they don't want to do it anymore, but no, it's all about whether you have the energy or not. I 100% agree with you.
Kaylin, what are your thoughts on that one?
I don't think any guy would be upset with that. And now here's the funny thing, because I was at a show where the guy was basically, his back was so bad. It was so pathetic, and, you know, it just hurt to hear him describing it. But he was so proud because he got incredibly lean, and he was so happy with the lean that he had. But I was like, man, you're has to suffer. And he was like, oh, yeah, but I told her, you know, it'll be done with in a little bit, and I'll be fine. And I'm thinking, that's not right, you know. I mean, not from a point that he should be able to have sex, and I this is so funny, but it's just the fact that he was so basically putting health and his sex life at risk for competition. And then I was just shocked at that because I was thinking, you know, these are the last things I ever thought about when I was getting ready to compete. But, you know, if you're basically going out of ignorance, then you will go a way that basically is not healthy or normal because you don't know any better. So, you know, it's not just for women. It's also for guys that are basically, you know, running the health gambit and not really thinking long term, because I think that's the biggest thing that some of these coaches get away with is they've got them so focused on a show, they're not thinking down the road. And that's what scares me about any sport, is that so many people are willing to put their future at risk just to get a present trophy? I mean, it's a tough one for me because health has always been paramount just because of the way I was raised. But, you know, for the people that don't have the many successes that we consider everyday normals, that you can see where some of them will, like, just to get the attention that I guess they're craving, they're willing to do something like that. But that's just amazing to me that these things still happen in this day and age.
It's true. And jumping back to the sex question, because I think we kind of transitioned there. Jumping back to it, I see how that happened. Either that or Kaylin was just uncomfortable with the topic, so he switched it. So I'll bring it back around. But what I will say is this. So like I said, if you have the energy, go for it, sister. But, you know, we all know everybody spray tans the day before, the night before. So you might just want to take a chill once you have your tan in place because you want to still be in place when you hit the stage. That's just a common sense thing, but I'll just throw that out there just in case no one was thinking about that.
Unless you got somebody that's competing as well.
But then both of your tans are messed up, so still, just let the tan rest in place. Just let the tan rest in place. So, my goodness. But anyway, good question. Good question, though. Good question. If anyone has anything more scientific on that, please let us know. Do share. We want to share with our listeners. Maybe we need to know as well. So, you know, this is all about growth and experience for all of us on this end of the phone also. So, and we have a last minute question, Kaylin and Christine. We're getting awfully close to the end of the show. And this has been a fun show. It's been a good show. I wasn't quite sure how it was going to go, but, you know, I think a lot of good information has been shared, and hopefully it's given everyone a lot of food for thought. So, Christine, we didn't really get a chance to talk a whole lot about you because we've been answering all of these questions, but, you know, you've got so many pro titles behind your name, a lot of great experience there. I just want to ask, and it has nothing to do with health at this point, but if you had some advice or words or wisdom for aspiring athletes out there or athletes who took that super long break and are looking to get back into it, what would you share with them?
What I would share with them is take your time and be patient. Nothing is overnight. There's no super pill. Unless you're going to go that route, then you're not going in a natural organization. But take your time, get the right trainer, get the right coach, and be consistent. I was fortunate enough to be working out this whole time, 25 years, and keeping that muscle memory, quote unquote, as they say. But if you're new, and when I say new, I recently just prepped two girls for their first show ever. One of them is 35, one of them is 48, for their first time ever on stage.
I love that.
Oh, my God. And I was so proud and so happy for them. We practiced and posed, and they got on stage, and they looked like they were naturals. And I happened to be judging that show, and the judges next to me said, "This is their first time on stage?" I said, "Yes, it is, absolutely." Because we practice and practice beyond the diet and everything else. Your stage presentation is so, so big a part of it, your scores, everything. But anyway, they came to me. One of them, you know, one of them is younger, and she had a little bit more experience in working out. The other one's been working out, but not nearly as tough. So the older one took 6 months, where the younger one took months. But still, consistency. They stayed on the meal plan. They no problems. They did the workouts and everything else. And it paid to people. Be consistent. Make sure you have the right coach. It's hard for people to say, "Well, how do I know if I have the right coach?"
Exactly.
Decide what category you're fit for. These girls came to me and said, "I want to do bikini," and I said, "Absolutely not." I said, "You guys have the build for figure," and we prepped them towards figure, and that's exactly where they should have been.
they were too muscular for bikini. Because most girls who have never competed before will come and say, I want to do bikini, because they just don't know any better, I think, maybe. And that's, like, the thing to do. But be mindful of where you should be. And the right coach will tell you where you should be.
Exactly, yes. Hallelujah.
Right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Good, good. Love it. Love all of it. Kaylin, any last-minute thoughts for us?
Well, yes, and this has a lot to do with what Christine just said about the coaching and bikini, is because basically there are a lot of people that aren't really coaches. They're just taking people's money. And what they consider to be an easy class is bikini, because back in the day they weren't as challenged. So basically they would recommend the boob job and put them out on stage. So now that women have stepped up, and that class has basically taken off and skyrocketed, you can't get away with that limited effect. And I'll give it that. But please, like Flashy said, everybody understands that you are still competing. You are going to challenge your body, and you are going to do more. What is that noise? It's just driving me nuts. I'm going crazy over here. I got to know what that noise is. But anywho, I'll pass it back to Dan and she can get home.
So, Christine, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. Have loved every minute of having you. We'll have to do this again. And with that, all I have, folks, is on behalf of myself, Christine, Kaylin, and the boys from P4P Muscle. Oh, I can't forget, Kaylin, snickerdoodle shout-out.
Snickerdoodle is snickerpoodle, even during the complete form of prep.
Your body is a temple, so let's build it.
Yep.